Chapter 22. I kick off the sheet and flap the tea around my belly to get some air flowing on my skin. My whole body's slippery with sweat on account of the sunlight streaming through the flimsy black threads at the window. My throat's so dry it feels like it's gonna crack. I reach for the bottle on the floor, clocking Natalia's skinny limbs sticking out from the bed opposite, a yellow bruise spreading up her arm. Always bruised, that girl. I don't get why she does that job. She says the reason she's here in the shithole is to get away from the man that boxed her. But now she's getting fresh beatings every night of the week from men she don't even know. I lurch forward, spitting the mouthful of hot, stale water back into the bottle. It must have been lying in the sun all morning, like me. I crawl to the bathroom, shoving my feet in my crepes on the way and nearly tripping over the tramp that slumped across our door. There's men all over the hostel, not just boyfriends brought in for protection, but proper down-and-out types, the types that sleep with a bottle of White Ace and talk so slurred only other down-and-outs can understand. It's another reason for keeping a tool down your sock at all times. Natalia nearly got herself pricked the other day with some old needle covered in hairs and blood and whatever. She had to lock herself in the bathroom and beat her way out with a floorboard. Sylvia's supposed to be running the place, keeping these types from coming in. But seriously, that woman couldn't keep oil from water. She don't give a shit, like the rest of them. Last week, some tramp was beating on the new girl who ain't right in the head, so she couldn't properly defend herself. It took three of the mandem to pull him off, and Sylvia wasn't nowhere to be seen. I guess it's all good for me. Means I get a place to cotch with a fridge and a TV and the works without no social services poking around in my business. I'm done in a couple of minutes. You have to be quick, else you suffocate from the smell. It's like someone shoved a bunch of dead rats down the plug hole and left them there for jokes. Natalia's right. Taking a shower in this place makes you dirtier than when you went in. When I get back to the room, my phone's lit up. Are you coming? I sink back down on the little bed feeling bad. I said I'd go round Miss Murphy's today to do job applications. She's made me promise I'd be at their place for midday, and it's already 1:30. Come in, I type back, pulling on fresh trackies and picking the flakes out my eyes in the plastic mirror Natalia's taped on the wall. My teeth's all brown and my hair's bulked out round my face, making my head look over big. Maybe I'll get a new weave with the peas JJ's given me the other day. I need to do something as this is getting out of control. I breeze at the hostel and cross the street, pulling my shades down over my eyes to avoid Michaela's death stare. It rolls me the way she stands there, day and night, her man face scowling at anyone who ain't drunk or high, anyone who ain't here to do business with her. She don't own these roads. She ain't got no right to look at me like that. One of these days I'm gonna teach her a lesson, but not today. I hit town in record time, making it to Miss Murphy's ends by 1. I don't know why, but today I don't feel no burning rage as I pass the shiny rims on the quiet tree-lined streets. It's still jarring seeing them lined up like that, bumper to bumper, like they've run out of space for all their nice things. But I don't get no urge to take out my tool and scrape my way down the sides. I don't feel hyped as I stand on Miss Murphy's doorstep looking down at the white gravel all around. I feel good. Miss Murphy's shaking her head as she opens the door, but I can see there's a smile peeping through the scowl. It's like the look she used to shoot me when I turned up late to my lesson, a look that says she knows she's supposed to be angry, but really, she's just happy I turned up at all. Sorry, I say, clocking the tennis racket-shaped bag and big night crepes in the hallway. The door's open to the room with the piano and it looks like that's where we're headed. But before I get to it, out shoots this tall figure in a white flapping robe muttering posh hellos as he sweeps up the stairs. It's Mr. Slick with the ice cream here. Only today he don't look so slick. He looks scruffy like one of them pop stars that's making a comeback after how many years? Designer stubble, bright eyes and hair all over the place. I swear there's this look that passes between him and Miss Murfield as he disappears. My eyebrows do a little questioning dance at Miss Murfield. She mumbles something about cups of tea and slides out of the room. Her cheeks glowing pink. A smile rises up on my face. And now I know there's something going on. I think about this as I stand in the quiet room, looking around at the lines of bookshelves, the fancy settee with its matching chairs, the giant rug on the floor. His floor. This is his house. I know because Miss Murfield said so. I can see why she likes him. I'd like someone who can set me up with a place like this. My eyes travel to the piano. It's like a black polished mirror, keys sticking out like over bleached celebrity teeth. I move closer, checking out the music on the stand. It ain't one of the ones Miss Murfield give me in lessons. Schumann Piano Sonata Number 1, it says on the top. I find myself slipping onto the stool. The keys is proper shiny, with sharp edges and a heaviness about them that just makes you want to press and press. That's what I do for a bit. Press middle C again and again. Then my head makes the connection with the dots on the page, and I'm playing the Schumann, slowly and jaggedy because it's been a while and I ain't never been good at sight reading. I'd forgot how nice it feels to play, turning this black and white page into a noise you can hear, a noise I control. It's mint. The sound grows around me, swells up as I get to the chords and then drops to a low rumble in the bass. I press the pedal to keep the sound in the room, like Miss Murfield showed me. It gets complex again, four notes at once, different beats in the right and left hand. It's hard, but it sounds good, like proper music. I'm missing out notes now, my hand jumping about to keep up, but I'm keeping the rhythm and it's rocking along slowly, tune ringing out on top. I can feel it filling the room, I can't stop. It's like I'm turning a handle and making the music pour out the top of the piano and I can't stop turning because I don't want it to end. I get stuck on the last page when it goes all high and I can't tell what the notes are. I try and make it up, but I know I'm off track because the right hand don't go with the left. Sometimes in lessons I'd start kicking the piano and chucking music off the stand when it got like this. One time I walked out on Miss Murfield, saying I wasn't never coming back. But I'll come back the next week and the next. This time, I ain't kicking nothing. This piano's too shiny and posh. And anyway, I don't feel it. Things ain't so vexing today. Today I just want to hear the music flow. I skip the hard bit and move to the next line, doing my best to keep up even though there's more dots on the page than I ever seen before. When I finish, first thing I hear is this mad whirring that makes me spin round before my fingers is even off the keys. What's that? I whip round. Miss Murfield's got this dreamy look on her face like she could carry on stirring her tea forever. She looks up, blinking like she's coming out of a trance. Oh, her eyes travel to this black slab on the table. It's the fan on my laptop. It's quite old. I don't want to laugh at Miss Murfield, but seriously, this thing looks like an old roof tile and it sounds like it's going to take off. Miss Murfield flips the screen on the thing and the noise ramps up to blast off level. I drop onto the settee, reach for my tea, and that's when I clock the stuff. Right next to my mug is a new toothbrush still in its packet. Next to that is toothpaste, and next to that is a bottle of bright pink mouthwash. My tongue shifts to the tooth that's been giving me trouble. It feels fuzzy today, but it ain't zinging. The pain comes and goes. Is that for me? I say, going all tight inside. I don't want to think about brown teeth or dentists, and I definitely don't want to think about Miss Murfield busting her way around the supermarket thinking, rah, what things can I buy for Alicia? But at the same time, I'm thinking, maybe this will sort things out. I had a toothbrush back when we cotched at Nan's. Maybe it's because I ain't been brushing that I've been getting the troubles. And maybe it ain't so bad that Miss Murfield's breezing around shops buying things for me. Maybe I should just be thankful. Thought it might help, she shrugs. Worth a try anyway. My eyes flick from Miss Murfield to the toothbrush then back again. Tongue flicking round my furry mouth. A smile tugs at the side of my lips. Thanks, miss. I put the goods at the end of the table. Then I feel my belly lurch as I clock the pile of papers in front of Miss Murfield. I can see my name in big letters across the top of each one. It's my CV. I had a look in the local paper, she says, sliding the pile over to me. But then I realised, these days, it's all online. She rips a blank sheet out of a notebook and lays it flat, like she can't wait to get started. Half an hour later, the page ain't blank no more. Scribbled on it is the list of every job in South that don't require no qualifications. The good news is that it's a long list. Everyone's saying there ain't no jobs out there, rah rah, but that ain't true. There is jobs. I'm looking at them. The bad news is that they are all waste man jobs. They got fancy titles like retail assistant and home carer and junior bar staff, but you know what they mean. Shelf stacker, arse wiper, scrubber. You know they mean spending your days getting covered in other people's dirt and shit and piss. Right! Miss Murfield still sounds like we're off on some crazy adventure. I look at her blankly. Truthfully, I don't know what she's expecting. What happens next? Well, go on then, she says, her eyes yo-yoing from mine to the table and back. That's when I clock the banana phone sitting in the middle of the table behind the laptop. What? I ask, even though I kind of know what she's saying. My throat's gone dry. You need to start calling them to see if the jobs are still available. I feel my face crumpling at the sight of the stupid plastic phone. I don't do phone calls. I just ping. What am I supposed to say down the phone? I can't do it. I ain't going to make no phone calls. I think Miss Murfield clocks my unease, because next thing I know, she's talking me through what to say, writing words in big letters on a fresh piece of paper. Slowly, I pick up the yellow phone. Hi, I say, nerves coming through in my voice. My name's Alicia, and I'm calling about the cleaning job. What? Says this foreign woman. The cleaning job? I say, looking at the words on the page. I'm looking for work. I know, she says. I know job here. The line goes dead. I put the banana back on the table, looking at Miss Murfield as I wait for my heartbeat to die down. Feels like I just ran a 100-meter sprint. My head's full of nerves and fear and relief. No job, but at least I've done the call. Next. I take a deep breath and pick up the phone again. Warehouse assistant. This time I get as far as telling the man my situation and he gets all excited till he hears I'm too young to drive. I put the phone down and try for cashier. The woman says I can apply, but there's already 6 people going for the job. My nerves is fading now, replaced by a growing rage. Factory packer, job gone. Back office assistant, must be highly literate. Care assistant, over 16s only. I can feel my muscles tensing up. I'm only 10 minutes in and already the list shrunk to half its size. Do you have any retail experience? Asked some chirpy voice girl. That does it. Don't ask me why, but the sing-song tone of that yap tips me over the edge. It's a waste of time! I chuck the receiver on the floor and watch it bounce and roll like some plastic toy. My eyes skim the stack of CVs on the table and suddenly I feel like setting light to the whole lot, right now. JJ was right. There ain't no jobs for our types. I just spent half an hour proving it. It ain't fair! I yell, reaching for a list on the table and screwing it up in my fist. I chuck it across the room, but it only gets as far as the table on account of its lightness. I can't even get no waste man job. I jump to my feet and head for the door. Can't get no job, can't get no benefits. What am I supposed to do? I'm practically in the hallway when I hear this click, and then Miss Murfield's voice on the settee, so quiet I can hardly hear it. What? I snap, whipping round in her face. I said, is that what you want? She says. Is what I want? Her hands is pressed flat on a flip-shut laptop and she looks calm, like she's asking if I want another cup of tea. Benefits. Do you want to rely on handouts? The rage is boiling inside me now. I can't believe Miss Murfield's turned on me like this. I thought she was supposed to be helping. I ain't got no choice, I spit. You do have a choice. What? Go back to running deliveries? I spike the last word so she knows what I mean. No. The blonde hair quivers, but her eyes don't leave mine. You could keep trying. Yeah, like that's gonna get me places. Yes, it might. Miss Murfield keeps on looking at me from the settee. You don't want to give up so soon, Alicia. I know you don't. I give up when there ain't no point in carrying on. A knot grows on Miss Murfield's forehead. But you kept at it with piano. I shoot her a screw face. What? You never gave up with piano? Well, she does a quick smile. Only every now and again. That's different. I like the piano. You might like working when you get into it. I stare at her for being so dumb. But I ain't gonna get no work, miss. All this calling, it's a waste of time. There's always a hard stage before you start getting the rewards. Don't you remember learning to read music? I roll my eyes, unwanted thoughts piling up in my head of long hours spent staring at blobs on the page and kicking that piano till wood come loose. You stuck at that, she says. And now look what you can do. She nods at the piano, and I find my eyes sliding across, my thoughts drifting to what I'd just done 10 minutes before. I sat down and played the Schumann. I did that. I did keep going on the piano. I don't know why, but I did. But I ain't gonna get no job playing piano, am I? I eyeball Miss Murfield. Well, she shrugs. You might be able to. It's up to you. I mean, I was thinking it'd be easiest to start off with standard part-time job and then go from there. But if you want to play piano, then there are probably opportunities in bars and cafes. We could focus on that and get you up to a high enough standard to perform. No! I yell, thinking back to the time Miss Murfield tried to get me to play in the school concert. It makes me curl up inside just thinking about it. Look! Miss Murfield springs to her feet and squares up to me, her white face hovering in front of mine waiting for me to catch her eye. You're smart, she says when I finally do. You're streetwise. You're quick to pick up things and you don't like to back down. I promise you, you're exactly what a lot of employers are looking for. A blast of air escapes from my mouth. Yeah, right. They're all looking for a school dropout who's been on the road for how long? Miss Murfield glares at me, her eyes on fire. That's enough, she says like she's proper riled. Stop putting yourself down and stop feeling sorry for yourself. I step backwards into the doorway, scared of Miss Murfield's tone. It's the same tone she used on Mr. Pritchard that time when I was listening through the door. I wasn't supposed to hear, but she was running her mouth off. Mr. Pritchard was telling her how my lessons got to stop because the grant ran out, rah rah. Miss Murfield gave him this whole long speech about why I should carry on with piano and how she wasn't going to stop teaching me. Mr. Pritchard didn't have no words to fight back. He must have lost because my lessons carried on. Miss Murfield can be proper firm when she wants to be. I know it feels as though the whole world's written you off. Her eyes stay locked on mine. I know it feels as though everyone around you is saying you're no good. But I think you are, Alicia. I think you can get yourself a job. All it takes is for one employer to see what you could bring and then you're on the ladder. You can build on that. I nod, too scared to argue back. But you can't keep talking as if there's no point. You can't keep going through the motions. You've got to know you can make it happen. I watch Miss Murfield as her eyes narrow and she starts chewing on her lip. When she talks again, it's like the volume's been turned down. I failed my grade 8, she says, looking at me, her voice all thin and small. I knew I would. I told my teacher there was no point in entering me for it. I watch Miss Murfield, suddenly seeing her differently. I never thought about her failing stuff. People like her, they just breeze through life. They find everything easy. I can't picture Miss Murfield messing up. I was 16, she says. I've been going through a lot in the previous year and I guess I just lost all my confidence. My teacher kept telling me I'd be fine, but the more he said it, the more I knew I wouldn't be. I just went in knowing I'd fail. And I did. I stare back at Miss Murfield, but it's like staring at a different person. Knowing I'd fail. That's me, that is. That's how I feel when I send off my CV and apply for jobs. That's how I feel the whole time when Miss Murfield tells me to do this stuff. Deep down, I know I'm gonna fail. It took a year for me to get over it, she says. If it hadn't been for Mr. Jacobs, I probably would have given up. Never touched a keyboard again in my life. But he kept encouraging me. kept telling me I was good. Did you pass? I blurt out, because I need to know how this ends. I think I know, but I need to hear it. I passed with distinction. Miss Murfield looks at me, her voice back to full strength, eyes boring into mine. But not because of what Mr. Jacob said. Not directly. I passed because I decided I was going to pass. I believed in myself again. My head fills with thoughts of Miss Murfield, all young and confused, sitting on a piano stool next to this Mr. Jacobs man and thinking, rah, I can't do it. I can't do it. Then I picture her putting her hands on them keys and hammering out scales and arpeggios, up and down, till she knew she was going to pass. I can see it now. I take a deep breath. Then I head back into the room and snatch up the yellow phone, uncrumpling the list I chucked on the floor. Quickly, before I can change my mind, I punch in the next number on the list. Hi, I say to the man in my most poshest voice. My name's Alicia, and I'm calling about the cashier job.